Please be seated. So we just heard the reading. It is the absolute favorite of apocalyptic fans. And we've all had those late night conversations with people about the end of all things. And I have to be honest with you, it is absolutely the least favorite passage of all preachers. And yet we can't help feel a little of that these days. See the rise of a lot of strong men across the world, whether it's in North Korea or Hungary or Romania or Turkey, and a lot of populist and extremist political groups as well. Thinking about Italy right now and in places in our own nation. And they share one thing. They want simple answers for complex problems. And just to let you know that this temptation isn't limited to the human race. You know, I live up in the country. I'm just a country parson. And I live along the Connecticut River, which runs north-south in New England, from the Canadian border down to the Atlantic. And on Thursday, as I was getting in my car to begin my journey here, I heard that very familiar sound of geese honking in the sky, right? We know that sound. We're all smiling just thinking about it. That honk, honk, honk. And I looked up. And they were flying the wrong direction. They were flying north. Okay? Following a false messiah, right? In the wrong direction. So before we get into this a little more, thank you, Neil, for welcoming me back here. It's great to be back. I'm looking out at a lot of people that I consider family and friends, and I'm glad to be back. So thank you for having me. So what's going on? Well, I think first and foremost, Jesus is warning us. He, not so much warning us about cult leaders and extreme politicians, but he's warning us about ourselves, And he's warning us about our mortality. Time flies, and we too will eventually be gathered up to our ancestors and return to dust. He's warning us that every second counts, that life is sacred, and what you and I do matters. It matters. Even in the face, maybe especially in the face of all the things we can't control in this life. So I'm going to tell you a story about Charlie. He's one of the very first people to be touched and affected by the work that we now call Jerusalem Peace Builders. I need to give you a warning about this story. It's a story about life and death, and there's some rough patches in it. So I just want to give you a warning about that. So Charlie, in the face of wars and rumors of wars, wanted to do something to help our nation. So he very rapidly joined the Green Beret. And learned some very special and intense skills. I mean, at the time, Charlie's neck was about the size of my waist. Okay? We're talking about a mountain of a man. He told me that when they flew into Iraq in their transport plane, before they even got over the runway. 13 people in the plane had already been shot dead from the ground. So Charlie landed and was deployed up north and a little bit east of Baghdad in an area they used to call the Triangle, which was really our weak spot when we were in Iraq, with things coming over from Turkey and Iran through the mountains there, Zagros Mountains. They were put in a fort, and every day, a beautiful little 6-year-old girl used to come to the gate of the fort and ask for rations. They gave her those rations gladly every morning, learned a little Arabic, said hi, exchanged smiles in a candy bar. One day they went out at the usual time. All there was a box, a soggy box. And in that box was that little girl who had been murdered to give a lesson to all the people that were getting friendly with the Marines and the Green Beret there. Something gripped Charlie, and he began to sign up for every possible night mission he could. I mean, he was just filled with hatred. And so they began to focus in on one particular individual who they understood was masterminding the whole area. And after a great deal of careful planning, they dropped Charlie and his comrades from about 40,000 feet. And they landed in their spot. And they knew that this man, every day at a very specific time, after having his coffee, went outside to relieve himself in a specific spot. So they positioned themselves there in the darkness of the night. And just as they thought, as the sun was beginning to rise, they heard the footsteps coming down the path. This was Charlie's moment. He was ready. And the footsteps stopped. And they jumped up, all ready for guns blazing. And it was a little girl. It wasn't the man at all. And by the grace of God, they didn't pull those triggers. Charlie's told me it felt like at that moment he got his compass bearing back. You know, he missed his target, but he won the prize. And from that day, he began the long march back, away from violence and hate, towards his humanity. And I'm happy to tell you, he just had his second child last week. If we're honest, none of us are too different than Charlie. We too are infected by that same temptation for simple answers for complex problems. And we too follow false messiahs, violence, racism, jingoism, religious bigotry, homophobia. We could just keep on going, right? And all these isms are these, they're a type of false messiah. And they want to take us to this never land of simple answers for complex problems. But by the grace of God, like Charlie too, we're on a search for some clarity, for one of those compass moments to set our feet back onto the right path. The intersection of our Lord's cross up there, place where the arms meet the head and the foot, really show us the way. Like for Charlie, that right path is discovered through encounter. Encounter. At JPB, Jerusalem Peace Builders, our mission is human transformation. And whether leading people on pilgrimages or during our summer programs that many of you have been involved with Israeli and Palestinian young people, the experience and the outcome hinge on encounter. It's not easy. Giving up the things we cherish, those half-truths that always exonerate us, put the blame and responsibility on others, to give those up and meet is always going to be one of the hardest things any of us do. But when we look at the lives of these young people, when I learn about the lives of our former pilgrims and how they've gone on to greater ministry, it's worth it. It's worth it. Jesus is asking the same of us, to enter that place of encounter, to begin that messy process, painful process, to free ourselves of quick fix, false messiahs, and to meet him face to face. Let's be honest. That's who Charlie met that dark morning. It was Jesus standing there in the disguise of that little girl. And today's reading is for all of us who want something more out of this life, who believe that humanity and God have something greater for us than division, suspicion, hatred, selfishness, greed. There's something greater out there. But we know the way, don't we? It goes right up that tight set of steps to the cross. To the cross. Promises that if we are willing sometimes just to put one step in front of the other, Jesus will help us along. Young Anglican priest about 150 years ago, John Henry Newman, said something that I think is a word for us today. He said, "Fear not that your life will come to an end. Fear rather that it should have no beginning." It's what Jesus is asking us today. To start a beginning, to begin again. and if needs be, again and again, to get our feet on the right path. Because time is precious. Life is sacred. In this apocalyptic reading, it's not about the future. It's about today. It's about now. So I invite you later this service, when we come forward down there to take Holy Communion, when you hold out your hands, hold them out for Jesus. Hold them out for that compass moment. Hold them out for that vision. And embrace the true Messiah. And then we can walk together and find our way home.